Thank you for downloading this teaching from Freedom Apostolic Resources. It's part of a library that includes audio, video clips, and written resources, available at freedomtrust.org.uk/AR. Now here's Mike Parsons.
Okay, well, we're on number 6 of transformation, and the place in this whole prophetic timetable where we are is about the presence of fire. Fire, lots of fire, but the presence of fire really is all about the presence of God. But the presence of fire is the presence of God, because God is a consuming fire, and he wants to consume everything in us, every stumbling block that would hinder us in fulfilling the purpose of God for our lives. And particularly in this whole prophetic timetable, what's coming next is judgment on God's household, and we need to be ready. So we need our lives transformed. We've been looking over the last few weeks, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're being transformed into the same image, the image of Jesus, from one degree of glory to another. So it's a process of change, so we can display heaven's glory on earth. Now, we can choose to embrace that and pursue that, or we can choose to stay babies, toddlers, or infants. And that won't be enough for what's coming. And as I was talking about the other week, it seems like everything I've learned up till the past couple of years has been baby milk. But now God wants to feed us with mature meat of the word and with truth and greater dimensions of revelation. Transformation is the word metamorphosis, a complete change of form. Body, soul, spirit, to spirit, soul, body. So our spirit grows and develops within our inner man and envelops our soul and body so that we manifest the glory of God on the earth. So we are a human being, we become a spirit being when we're born again, and we're transformed into a living being and a godlike being. That's God's desire, that we'd be like him. We've looked at that we have to go through places like the cocoon or the cloud or wilderness. And last week we looked at the crucible and the furnace and fire. We finished up looking at the whole thing of the altar. There are many altars in heaven, different places, and we looked at some of them. But on the altar, fire comes, and heat is often comes through situations and circumstances and relationships in our lives which cause us to need to change. All the things that are buried or covered up will come to the surface or come into the light. So we might as well choose to bring them into the light and have an easier process, because then we cooperate with what God's doing, and things do get speeded up. As Mandy said, those layers and things that are built up on our lives can be removed, and they're much easier removed when we surrender to the process and stop running away from it. And not easy, but it's better. We saw last week that fire comes from heaven to consume the sacrifice on the altar. That in the Old Testament, when they had the altar, it was continual fire. They never allowed the fire to go out. And there was something called strange fire, which was forbidden. Strange fire was where they tried to use their own fire to consume sacrifices. And there were, you can read the stories of all that. It was not a good idea. They had a continual sacrifice, morning and evening. So there was always an animal on the altar, raising up as a sweet smelling savor to God, a fragrance. Romans 12:1. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. So we've looked at the mercies of God, and it's because of God's mercy and his love that he wants to change us, and we can present ourselves to him. But it's up to us to present ourselves. He doesn't take us. We have to present ourselves, although he will make all the circumstances around it harder and harder to resist presenting ourselves if we choose to resist, so that we become a living and a holy sacrifice. Now, last week we looked at the whole thing of transformation from that point of view of the fire of God purifying and refining. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So as Christians, we will have to actually see whether the scroll of our life compares to the scroll of our eternal destiny. How does it match up? Have we fulfilled the things eternally agreed before the foundation of the world for our lives? And I've experienced this, and in an encounter in heaven the spirit of the fear of the Lord took me to before the lion of the tribe of Judah. And it was a huge lion. But before the lion, there was a lamb. And I had to go and lay my hands on the lamb so I could enter into the mouth of the lion. Now, when I went in there, I was quaking, literally, physically shaking. My whole spirit, soul, and body was shaking in the presence of God, because in there was the fire of God's presence. And what happens in that place, 1 Corinthians 3:12, if any man builds on the foundation, which is Christ, with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it's to be revealed with fire. And I went into that place, and I actually stood before the fire of God's presence, and the fiery eyes looked into my life and opened the scroll. I was given a scroll, which was the scroll of my life, and it was opened. And I could actually see, and in an instant of time, saw my whole life as a Christian. It's not the sin, all that's dealt with at the cross. This was actually my life, all the things I'd done for God in my own strength. And some of the things I'd done in His strength. And there was some good stuff, but there was a whole load of other stuff. And on the back side of that scroll, cut the long story short, was all the things of missed opportunities that I had been given by God and I didn't realize. I just missed them because I wasn't looking. Now God purified that scroll with fire. And I, you know, if I experienced that, I can say that all of you could experience it as well. Because God is no respecter of persons. And He wants to purify our lives so that what we have in our lives will be fulfilling the destiny that He has for us. And it goes on to say that the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. See, our eternal destiny is tied up with our life here and now, which is equipping us for that destiny. Because if we're faithful in little things now, He will give us lots of things in that day in terms of rule and authority in the heavens, galaxies, universes, beyond. But the quality of our work will be tested by the fire of His presence. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Now, we have an opportunity to make sure that when we get before that place of God's judgment seat, our lives will be pure and holy and refined, and will be fulfilling the purposes that God has for it. So, Romans 12:1, I encourage you, this is what Paul's saying, I urge you, very strong word, I urge you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Now, that is a picture of a slice through the dimensions of heaven and the heavenly realms. So you have kingdom of earth, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven, heaven of heavens, perfection, eternity, and beyond, outside of that dimension, which is the realm of His presence, realm of His government, realm of His domain, and the realm of His abode. They are just the realm. They're not the actual place. It's like when you can smell smoke, you know somewhere there's a fire. Quite often it's like sometimes someone has a bonfire, and you can smell the smoke in the air. You can't even see it, but you can smell it. The closer you get to the presence of God, the greater the presence of God is in our lives, but it's still just the presence. It's not the person of God. So everything we do in here, in these realms, is to enable us to meet the presence of God. So, using the expression, the outer court, inner court, holy place, holy of holies. The holy of holies is just the access into the place of His domain, government, and presence. I have only been in the place of His presence for, I don't know how fraction of a second I could actually stand to be in it, but I had to get out quick. Now God allowed me in there after months of coming through the dark cloud to show me how awful my life was. Let's be real. I'm going to be real. Actually, I thought it was okay. And I spent 4 months going through the dark cloud of preparation, of waiting on God to come into his presence. And when I got there, I couldn't stay in there for a millisecond. I backed out, and I've been back once or twice, and I've been there a little bit longer, but not much longer. But everything we're doing in preparing our lives in his presence is to enable us to be able to stand in his glory, in his person, in the person of God's presence. But we have to learn to come through the protocol of heaven. Now, the fiery cherubs and the fiery sword are there to stop access into the tree of life. But we have access through that because Jesus has opened up the door of access. It's there to stop other things coming through. Remember, Jesus said you try and get in and people will try and climb over and get in the wrong way. It's to stop that access. So we have to learn the protocol of entering in through this place of sacrifice. So each time there's a place of surrender that brings us nearer and nearer to the presence of God. We saw last week in terms of the tabernacle, and this tabernacle is what heaven is patterned after, and there's an actual place of the tabernacle, and the door into the outer court was nicknamed the Way. Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. So you go in through the Way, and you meet there the bronze altar, which represents the cross. And we looked last week about presenting ourselves to the place of exchange, where we exchange all our old things for the new things of God's new life on the cross. And then here, there is the truth. That's another veil. These are veils. This one's called the truth. And then this veil here into the Holy of Holies is the life. But in the middle, there's something there. In the inner court, the brazen laver. And I want to briefly look at that. Remember that the sacrificial lamb was prepared by the high priest. The lamb didn't prepare itself. So all you have to do is present yourself to God and surrender your life to God, and he will do the cleaning up and sorting out. We just got to stop trying to sort it out ourselves from the outside in and allow him to sort it out from the inside out. So Exodus 29:16, they killed the ram, cut it in pieces, wash its entrails and legs and all that stuff. So what they did, slit its throat. It was dead, and they drained its blood. They skinned it, split it open, and washed its inner organs, split open the backbone to reveal the marrow, and chopped off its head, and then its legs. And that's a thing of our presenting our lives and God doing stuff. We'll go through that a little bit more. But the brazen altar we saw last week, trading floor, the cross, where we exchange, present ourselves, lose ourselves, deny ourselves, surrender to the process. But this laver, and a laver was a big receptacle full of water, was actually made of mirror bronze. Exodus 38:8 says, he made the laver of bronze with its base of bronze from the mirrors of the serving woman who served in the doorway of the tent of the meeting. So it was like a mirror surface. So when the priests came, they presented their offerings, and then they came, and this was big enough to get in and wash. It was like a mini baptistry, if you like. They got in and washed themselves. James 1:23. What does this represent? If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror and forgets what he looks like. So this mirror is supposed to reflect back the image of God. But if we're not in the image of God, it will reflect back to us what we look like from God's perspective. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, because we've come through the veil, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So when we look into that mirror of the Word of God, we should see the reflection of God's image in us. But it says we're being transformed into that image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So as we look into the truth of the Word, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the image of the Word, actually we can have our lives transformed. But we have to surrender to the process. Hebrews 10:19 explains it. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, so we can come into the presence of God in heaven. This is not something we do here on earth. This is something we do because we have access into the presence of God in the heavenly realms because of the blood of Jesus, which is prepared a new and living way, which he inaugurated through the veil that is his flesh. So we come through a veil, which is open now to us. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is what was represented by that laver. Our evil conscience of our heart sprinkled clean, washed, and our bodies washed with pure water. Ephesians 5:25, Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for her, that's the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross, that he might sanctify her. We sang today about being sanctified by glory and fire. But you can also be sanctified by the word of God, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she will be holy and blameless. That's the process that we're in, so that when Jesus returns, he's going to find a church, which is just people, by the way, just you and me, actually cleansed, washed, sanctified by water, glory, fire, so that we are in glory, manifesting the glory of God on earth as it is in heaven. But we have to submit to this process. The word of God is God himself. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Psalm 119, 160 says, the sum of your word is truth. So when we come into that veil of the truth, it is the word of God that enables us to access. John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's only the truth that you know and is applied to your life that will make you free. Any old truth won't do it. It's only the truth that you know deep in your life. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock. Lots of illustrations of what the word is like. Truth is, are we going to submit and surrender to the authority of the word of God in our lives? Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, but only if I surrender to it as the authority in my life. If I don't surrender to it, it's not a light to anything. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. But will we submit to the word to train us, to reprove us, and to correct us? It's a choice. The protocol is that we surrender to the living word. That is the written word, which becomes the spoken word, the logos and the rhema, into our life. It's not, the Bible is just a book until the Spirit of God breathes life into it and applies it when we surrender to it and make it the authority in our life, because it is the living word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, for separating as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is what the word will do. He will deal with the levels of things that are built up in our life, which is what we're going to look at. Those of you who know what the Jaharis window is, you know that there is your open self that you reveal to everybody. There's your hidden self that you don't let anyone know, but you know. And then there's your blind self, which you don't know, no one else knows. But God knows. When we look into that laver and that mirror of the word, and when we surrender our lives to it, God will reveal our blind self to us. He will show us the things that are hidden away in our lives if we surrender. So then you can start to see the truth about yourself. And as you surrender to that truth and enter through the veil, you step into the light, because in the holy place, there is the candlestick with the seven spirits of God. Effectively there, three of the spirits of God, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. God will give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to see our lives reflected in the Word when we submit and surrender to it. So then we enter by faith to the holy place, which is where we come again, Hebrews 10:19. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Jesus, the high priest, then starts to prepare our life as a sacrifice. So what is it happens first? The skin was stripped off the sacrifice. So when the skins are stripped off, we can be totally naked and transparent so that our flesh is completely exposed before God. That's a scary thing. And you can't do it lightly, and you can't do it unless your heart is sincere. But if you ask God and you present yourself as a sacrifice, this is what He will start to do. He will start to strip off the skins and the layers that are built up on our life. Coverings, skins, masks, onion layers, whichever term you want to use, and some of you are familiar with some of those terms, there are things that we have used to cover up, to protect ourselves. Genesis 3, fig leaves. Immediately Adam and Eve sinned. They were naked. What did they do? They went in the bushes, took some fig leaves, and tried to make a covering so they would cover themselves. Guess what? It didn't work. Guess what? It still doesn't work. And for all of us who try, it doesn't work. So we need to surrender and stop trying to cover up. See, the fig tree, the fruit of covering up, is the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, the knowledge of good is just as bad as the knowledge of evil, because it's still done through humanism and rationalism, apart from God. Anything we do apart from God in our own strength has no fruit whatsoever. It can do nothing to cover up, because only the blood of Jesus can cover our sin. Only the blood of Jesus can deal with the things that are in our lives. So when Jesus came along in Matthew 21:19, and he basically saw this fig tree, seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only, because there could be no fruit on the fig tree to cover things up. So then he said, "No longer shall there be any fruit from you," and at once the fig tree withered. Now people wonder, what was he on about? Why did he do this? He didn't curse it, he just spoke to it. And the reality was, go back to the law of first mention. Go back into Genesis 3, you'll see what fig leaves were used for. So Jesus was basically saying, fig leaves can produce no fruit that will cover up your life. It is ended. So all dead works and coverings of ourselves are ended, or self-righteousness, defense mechanisms, coping mechanisms to meet our needs apart from God. There is no way that any of those things will enable us to have a relationship with God, although we still try, or have us to protect our own lives. Hebrews 4:12 talks about three things: dividing, separating, and judging. Three layers of God dealing with us. The soul and the spirit is about our behaviors, and everything we've looked to up to this point is all about behaviors. But there are thoughts and intentions, which are our motives, which are a deeper level. And then there's the bone and the marrow, which is the root or the source level of the things in our lives. You can look at it, and transgressions being the things that are on the surface, sin being the motives, and iniquity being the root and the source. We're going to actually look at all those things. Essentially, we are a three-part being: soul, spirit, soul, body. God is a tripart being as well: Father, Son, Spirit. Why three? Because three is always the thing of government in the realm of the kingdom. And look at this. The body has three layers of skins: dermis, epidermis, subdermis. The heart has three layers: endocardium, myocardium, pericardium. The brain has three layers: dura mater, arachnoid mater, pia mater. The soul has three layers: heart, emotions, will. Iniquity, sin, and transgression is three layers. Everything operates in threes. And God wants us to deal with the layers in our lives. So how did we get these skins and layers and masks and behavior patterns? One, through trauma, experiential programming of our lives, all the things that have happened to us. The other one's through nurture, environmental programming. And the third one is through nature, DNA or genetic programming. So we have to deal with each one of those. We're just going to start with the first, the top level. Trauma, the record of the experiences that are stored as memories in our lives. Layers of protection build up and coping mechanisms and defense mechanisms to protect us as a result of those experiences and those records. Abuse, physical, sexual, emotional, physical, verbal, all those things cause us to have to protect ourselves. Incidents and accidents cause emotional records of experiences and trauma. Grief and loss are huge ones that cause us, through death, divorce, moving home, different things that happen through our experiences, particularly as children, which are recorded within our lives as trauma, and because we are survivors, we have to survive. So we build layers of protection. Nurture, our environmental programming, the record of our upbringing. Our parents should have given us acceptance, affection, affirmation, approval, and security, and loads of other things. Most of us didn't get all those things to the level that God wants us to have. Also, through family and school and friends and through church, if you had a church connection when you were young, they all had an influence in bringing the programming into your life. Words we heard are major sources of programming through this nurture. Curses, vows, agreements that we make, the lies that are spoken over our lives, all program us and cause us to have these layers of behavioral patterns in our lives. And the last one is nature, the bloodline, records of family sin, behaviors, spirits, family spirits, iniquity. Our seed line is our genetic record. Reptilian seed, Cain, Nephilim seed, human angelic hybrid. There's another seed, I'll leave that one. Righteous seed, because always operates in threes. So the enemy's looking for three sorts of seed on the earth. Any of you can come up with that one? I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you, so there you go. Leave you hanging. Trauma. I don't want to get into it, that's why, because it's somewhat controversial, let's say. Trauma and nurture programming we need to deal with. So we deal with it by presenting ourselves as a sacrifice. That's how you start. Enter into the realms of heaven and present yourself as a sacrifice. So we can be skinned of all the masks. How many people have worn masks to hide? All of us, virtually. Because that is how we've protected ourselves. Some of you, you wear a jolly mask, but inside, actually, you're feeling horrible. It's like you can cover up because we've been used to doing things to cover up. So we don't want to let anyone know what's going on the inside of us, including God. Actually, God sees through it all, and so do most people, actually. So we need to deal with those things that are built up. All the self-righteous religious coverings, including denial and projection. So easy to deny the real problems and to project the problems onto somebody else. Their problem and not mine. Self-protection, coverings, coping and defense mechanisms. So let's just look at this. Our being, who we are, says Acts 17, for in him we live and move and have our being. In Genesis 1:26 says, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So we're made in the image of God, body, soul, spirit, and the body and the soul and spirit have got different parts. The soul, the heart, emotions, will, and the mind. Our spirit is where the Holy Spirit is resident and where the mind of Christ, the glory of God, and the heart of the Father are resident. And most of us, in our experience with the Holy Spirit, have the gifts of the Spirit expressed through our soul and body and the character, the fruit of the Spirit expressed through our soul and body. That's what most of us have encountered. But God has been taking us to a deeper level of understanding of our spirit. And when we surrender our spirit and the throne of the government of our life to God, then we invite him in. What happens is we get the gates of our spirit and our spiritual senses activated. Fear of God, prayer, reverence, intuition, revelation, hope, faith, worship. Let's get activated so that God's glory can come through us to the world around us. That's just obviously the spirit, but we've also got the soul for that to come through. So our soul, subconscious mind, our heart. Spirit in the middle, conscious mind on the outside between the connection between our body and our soul. Our subconscious is what we would call our heart or our knower. This is where we know things, the deep things. Our memories, our beliefs, our values, mindsets, truth, and lies are all in our knower. Now, just because we know something doesn't make it true. It may be true to us because we think we know it, but doesn't make it the truth. So much of our lives is programmed by lies. The things that were programmed into us as we grew up. Things that came from being rejected and hurt and all the other things. So, as a result of those things that are in our lives, we develop behavior patterns and coping mechanisms as a layer around our soul. Now, then what happens is, to defend our right to believe what we believe, we develop strongholds and defense mechanisms that will argue black is white. And white is black, because it believes that black is white or white is black on the inside. So our strongholds defend our right to believe lies. So we need those strongholds demolished so that the lies can be replaced. Now, as a result of all those things, in our conscious mind, familiar spirits operate. They're the little things that whisper to you, first person. Things like, no one likes you. You're ugly. All those little things, I'm not going to go into them, I've got time, but you know the things that whisper to you. You need to take those thoughts captive and deal with them. And we'll look at how you can deal with familiar spirits over the weeks to come. As a result of that, our conscious mind is filled with suggestions, fear, responses and reactions to things, thoughts, doubt, unbelief, attitudes, behaviors. All those things are in our conscious mind. That's how all this stuff works. So when God comes into our life and we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, he starts to bring revelation, truth, to renew the mind, reprogram the heart, and deal with the lies. So then all those things that are on the surface get exposed. And as a result of that, as we deal with the defense mechanisms and the coping mechanisms, and as the truth and the real values of God in our lives enables all those things on the surface to be flowing from the life of God in us, not from our old flesh. Okay? Soul, emotions. Again, programmed through nature, nurture, and trauma. Our emotions is where all the things on the inside of us, where we should feel worth, value, esteem, love, security, acceptance, and all those things. That is the ideal. I don't know anybody who lives in the ideal. Therefore, most of us didn't have any of those things. What we had is unmet needs. We needed love, acceptance, security, all those things. So we tried to get it from the world, mostly through relationships with other people who hurt us and damaged us and let us down and disappointed us. And the whole cycle just repeated itself over and over again. So we built up more and more layers of defenses and mindsets and everything else. So we have low self-esteem and we have disappointments in our life through seeking something that could not meet our needs. The only person who can meet our needs is God. And if you try and meet them in anybody else, you will end up disappointed and hurt and damaged emotionally because it does not work. Only God can meet our emotional needs. And let's say he fills our emotional tank up to 99%, then the other 1% can come from somewhere else. Because we are secure. But we will not be secure if we do not find our needs met in God. So as a result of that, things develop. Codependency. Relationships with others to try and meet our needs. And theirs. Insecurity. Rejection. Now as all things fail, we end up feeling guilty. With shame. Unforgiveness forms. Resentment. Bitterness. Therefore we have unhealed hurts. A load of hurts that never got healed, which cause strongholds to form around our lives, again, in an emotional sense. And all those things come out into our conscious mind and determine our behaviors every day. And we live ruled by the things that have shaped our lives as we've grown and developed. God wants to deal with all that stuff, but we have to present ourselves to Him and allow Him to peel all these layers away so that we can be healed and restored. Because when, again, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and we surrender our life to God, He wants to heal, restore our identity to what He says about us, that He brings those things back into our lives, esteem, love, security, acceptance, worth, and value, because we are loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, loves us. So who cares about anybody else? If we're loved by God, God wants us there to be then motivated by His love and acceptance in our lives so that we live from that place of security and peace and joy and love that He wants to fill us with. The will. Get the last one here. The will. Again, through sin, I'm not talking about sins, I'm talking about sin, the principle that was passed on from Adam to all mankind because of sin and iniquity, the things that are past generations. We have stuff in our will, stubbornness, rebellion, control, fear, doubt, indecision, all sorts of things come in our will. When we surrender our life to God and in repentance and through worship and surrender, God deals with those things, then He puts into our will positive things like patience, confidence, humility, endurance, boldness, courage, perseverance, self under spirit control, not self-control, and determination. All those things get programmed into us when we surrender our will to God's will and for His purpose in our life. But we have to surrender. It's a choice that we have to make every day of our lives, one day at a time, one step at a time. Every day I get up and I present myself to God as a living sacrifice. Now, it doesn't take me half an hour or an hour anymore because I know I've learnt the protocol of the pathway so I can enter through the veil really easily. But it took me time to learn how to present myself to God so that God will deal with some of these layers. And so the behavioral things God has been dealing with, actually, there's still motives and other things beyond that which we've got to deal with. So independence, humanism, acting apart from God has got to go, because there's nothing good in the flesh. We've got to acknowledge that. So die to self, self-centeredness, selfishness, self-importance, self-promotion, self-control, self-respect, self-esteem, self-worth, self-image. Ooh, I thought those were all good things. Not if they come from self. Because where are they going to come from? From your attempts to meet your own needs. Don't work. Self-reliance, self-sufficiency, self-belief, self-expression, self-denial, self-righteousness, self-help, self-improvement. You know, you can get through a whole library of books and it won't do you any good at all. Because all they'll be doing is fueling your own way of acting apart from God. And all it will do is produce layers of coverings, which none of them will succeed in enabling you to live the way God wants you to live. Self-gratification and self-indulgence, all those things have to go. And this little phrase, me, myself, and I have got to die. I can't do it. I've got to give up trying to do it and surrender to the one who can do it by presenting myself to God every day. So if you want to step into this process again today, I'm going to encourage you to stand, find somewhere where you can take a step forward, and we're going to make another set of declarations, and you can then use these as prayers that you can do every day until you've developed the protocol that enables you to enter into the presence of God and allows God to deal with the things in your lives. So if you want to, and again, there's things you're going to be saying here which commit yourself to opening up your life for God to remove these layers. If you want to do that, let's actually pray and say these things together. Father, I thank You. You have made a way for me to access Your heavenly presence. I step in through the veil of Jesus, through the way of the cross. I step into the realm of Your government. I look into the mirror of Your word. Reveal my blind self to me. Show me the hidden motives of my heart. Show me how I look compared to your image. Wash me and cleanse me with your living word. I step through the veil of truth into the holy place. I stand in the light of your truth. I ask you to search me. I present myself to you, Jesus, my high priest, as a living sacrifice. Prepare me for the altar of incense, that my life would be an acceptable offering. Skin me. Remove all layers of self-righteousness. Remove all the masks that I hide behind. Remove all my defensive behavior patterns. Remove all my coping mechanisms. Remove all my mindsets and strongholds that I've built to defend my false beliefs and values. Remove all patterns of thinking, philosophies, ideals, lies and values not of your kingdom. Remove all layers of self-doubt and unbelief. Remove all my emotional layers of rejection, insecurity, fear and dependence. Remove all layers of guilt and shame. Remove all layers of anger, resentment, bitterness and unforgiveness. Remove all layers of control, independence, stubbornness and rebellion, pride, self-sufficiency. Give me revelation of my true identity as a son of God. Renew my mind to the mind of Christ. Meet all my unmet needs in yourself. Heal all my unhealed hurts. Restore my soul. I receive your unconditional love, acceptance, affirmation, approval. I stand transparent, naked, and unafraid before you. I hear you say, I see you, and I love you. I receive your value, esteem, and worth. I receive your strength, patience, perseverance, courage, boldness, humility, and confidence. I step back into this realm to walk in the ways of your kingdom, manifest your glory through me on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Now, I encourage you, do this every day. Learn the protocol of presenting yourself and allow God to do those things in your life. If you do that, He will start to do things in you to change you beyond your wildest imagination. It won't be easy, but it will be beneficial. And in the end, we will be transformed into more and more into the image of Jesus. Amen?
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.